Welcome to Central Study Hour. We are so happy to have you join us this morning here at Sacramento Central Seventh-day Adventist Church. And today we'd like to start our worship and study time with some hymns. Our first hymn is 183, I Will Sing of Jesus' Love. We'll be singing all stanzas of this hymn this morning, and we invite you to reflect on the beautiful words of this hymn, which talk about God's or Jesus' love for us, that he not only came to this world, but he also came to die for us so that we may have eternal life. So let's sing together all verses of I Will Sing of Jesus' Love.
I will sing of Jesus' love. Sing of him who first loved me. For he left rivals above. And I don't care. I will sing of Jesus' love. Endless praise my heart shall give. He has died that I might live. I will sing his love to me. Oh, the depths of love divine. Earth or heaven can never know how that sin.
Continue with our study today of God's love and justice. And today we have an exciting lesson. It's lesson number 8, free will, love, and divine providence. So stay tuned. And before we do that, we want to remind you that we'd love to hear from you wherever you're watching around the world. And we'd like to know what hymns you would like us to sing on an upcoming Sabbath. And in order to share that with us, please go to saccentral.org. And in the contact us section, you will find a link that says hymn requests. There you can share your name, where you're writing us from, and the song title or number that you would like us to sing in the future. Our next song is hymn number 623, I Will Follow Thee. We'll be singing 1st, 2nd, and 5th stanza.
I will follow thee, my Savior, wheresoe'er my lot may be. Where thou goest, I will follow. Yes, my Lord, I'll follow thee. I will follow thee, my Savior. Thou didst shed thy blood for me. And though all men should forsake thee, by by thy grace I'll follow thee. Though the road be rough and thorny, trackless as a foaming sea, thou hast trod this way before me, and I'll gladly follow thee. I will follow thee, my Savior. Thou didst shed thy blood for me, and the woman should forsake thee. By thy grace I'll follow thee. Though to Jordan's rolling billows, cold and deep, thou leadest me. Thou hast crossed the waves before me, and I still will follow thee. I will follow thee, my Savior. Thou didst shed thy blood for me, and the woman should forsake thee. By thy grace I'll follow thee.
May this be the desire of everyone watching today to follow Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity you give us to come together and study your word and worship you in song, Lord. And we ask a special blessing today on our study so that we may learn to be more like you, so that we can be transformed, Lord, and we can be ready to go to heaven with you. Thank you, Lord, for all your blessings, for all your love. In Jesus' name, amen. So today, we will have the lesson presented by Elder Brett Stebbins. And the title of the lesson, one more time, is Free Will, Love, and Divine Providence. Have a blessed study.
Hello and welcome to Central Study Hour here at Sacramento Central Seventh-day Adventist Church. We're so glad that everybody is here joining us today. Everybody who is watching via some sort of social media or on TV, or anybody who is here in the sanctuary, welcome to Central Study Hour. We're going to share a good 50 minutes or so studying about the Word of God, right, and studying our lesson. It's a wonderful lesson in God's love and justice, right? It's really good to understand both, not only his love, but also his justice and just how God works. So today we're going to be going over lesson number 8. And lesson number 8, the title is Free Will, Love, and Divine Providence. There's a lot in there. There's a lot to cover. And if you are listening or you are watching online or wherever you're watching or you're here in the audience, if you'd like a copy of this for either for yourself or somebody else, you can contact us. You can reach out and give us a call at 916-457-6511. Email us. Email is very easy as well, csh@seccentral.org. Give us the offer letter number, and it is C202-508, and we would love to be able to send you a copy of that, free CD or DVD of this. C202-508, call, email, give us your information, and we'll go ahead and send that out to you. So we'll start off reading just straight out of the lesson, and it comes from, the memory verse comes from John 16:33, and it says this, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So I hear this verse, and I hear right away, I love this, I hear, be of good cheer, right? Be of good cheer because I have overcome, right? Christ has overcome. I have very selective reading and selective hearing at times, right? What catches me in my mind is not the tribulation part did not sink in with me. What sunk in with me was the be of good cheer, right, when I read that, because I think that's what we need to do. Yes, we're going to go through some tribulations, but we need to be of good cheer. Whatever we're doing, we need to be of good cheer, right? As Christians, we cannot have our heads down. We cannot continue to sulk. We need to lift our eyes up to Jesus, lift our eyes up to him, be of good cheer, and be a good example. That doesn't mean that sometimes we will go through hard times and we're going to have a sad face on, but for the most part, we're going to get through it. Be of good cheer, right? We have free will to be able to make decisions. We have a God who loves us, and we also have a God who helps and guides us and works in our lives. So that's what we're going to be going over this week in the lesson is what does that all look like? How is it that I have free will? How is it that God has a certain desire of how I should live? And how does all of that work together? So I'm not always the most educated person, and I don't know all of the, you know, words. So sometimes when I have a word and I get a little, I kind of know a basic understanding, but sometimes I really want to look at the definition of some words, right? Because there's a word in this title that I really wanted to make sure that I captured really good, and that is providence, right? It's not a word that I use in my daily dictionary, in my daily vocabulary, so I kind of looked it up. So divine providence, or providence, the definition of that is basically a protective care of God. So today in this lesson, we talk about free will, right? Our free will. We talk about love, because this whole lesson, this whole quarter, we're talking about love. And then we're talking about divine protective care that God has for us, right? God is at work in our lives. God is in the works of everybody's lives all over the world, but we also have free will. So we make decisions as well. And those decisions, that free will that we have, we make decisions to be with God, and we also make decisions that go against God and what he wants as well. And it's very important that we understand this divine providence, this divine care that God has for us. How does he work? Because there's a lot of different Christian churches and beliefs that say that God helps in different ways. And it really has an impact on how we relate to God, right? How we see him and his care for us is very important. And how God governs as an almighty being and a Lord and a creator, how we view that is very important, right? And there are very different stances. There are some that believe that God at all times is determining his will, that he has planned everything out. Everything that is happening because God planned that exact moment. Everything. You doing good, you doing bad, God has planned it out. There are some people that take the stance of even saying that God from the beginning has chosen who is going to be saved and who is not going to be saved from the beginning. That's some people's stance. And so if you have that stance, you're going to act a certain way, right? To me, if God has made every decision and it doesn't matter what I do, why would I just do whatever I want, right? Because it's all God's plan. But that's not necessarily the case. But that is a lot of churches and a lot of people have this understanding. So we want to take a deep dive into how God works in our lives and what is the free will that we have and how does God work ahead and go with our free will, right? People were all free to make our own decisions and we have our own desires and we all are able to live our own lives how we want to. There is strong biblical evidence, and we're going to be going over that in this lesson, that God does not determine everything that is happening. He gives us free will. I can just leave right now if I want to. I can completely leave the church. I can not believe in God anymore. I can make any decision I want. That doesn't mean that there aren't different consequences for our free will, but God gives us free will. Even the angels had free will. There was a third of them that decided not to go along with God. We've all known that story, right? So all of God's creatures that he creates, him being a God of love, you have to give free will to somebody in order to love. People have to make a decision whether to love you. When we love something, we make a decision to love. And if we look at the fall, it's very evident of what we're talking about in the fall, because how sin entered the world could not have been God's plan, right? God's plan was not to build and create a masterpiece in us, in the animals, in the world, in the rain and the cycles and how everything happened. There was no mistake about it. God created a masterpiece. He saw it as very good, right? His creation. He did not create us, tell us as human beings to populate the world only to have right away Adam and Eve, the first two human beings, sin and go against God's plan. He couldn't have planned it that way. But he had to give people free will in order to be a God of love. So right away, we see sin. We see that people did not choose God. They chose God, but they also chose a part of their life to do something against what God said. But the plan of salvation, that was God's choice, right? He saw something going on. He created this masterpiece. There was an error. There was something that fell out, something that changed. So God created this remedy and said, okay, I still want you to be with me. I still want you ultimately to come to heaven. I still want to love you. Let me throw in this remedy because you chose a certain way. And now God has to pivot and go a certain way. So we as people, we either have free will or God is the ultimate almighty authority and he determines everything. It's one or the other. You can't have both. So let's go to the Bible and let's see what the Bible says about this topic between free will and God being an almighty God. So if you have your lessons, go ahead and turn with me to Sunday and we'll go over that. And the title of Sunday is Our Sovereign God, right? Another word that we use a lot at church, but we don't use a lot in our daily vocabulary, sovereign, right? I don't use that word day to day, especially when I'm at work. I don't say sovereign. So sovereign means a supreme ruler. So we're talking about today our supreme ruler, which is God, right? And the lesson starts off, if we go to the lesson, there's a very interesting back and forth story between a youth pastor and one of the students. And it's very interesting. So I'll read some of it out of here and then I'll paraphrase some of it. The youth pastor starts off and he says this. He says, God is sovereign, right? Which means he's our supreme ruler. He's the almighty. He is God. That's what the youth pastor says. And then he says, that means he controls everything that happens, right? And then so one of the students was just like, yeah, I'm not buying that. And he says, the student says, so God was in control when my dog died? He says, why would God kill my dog, right? The youth pastor says, God is in charge of everything, in control of everything. And this kid just lost a dog. I love my dogs. If I lose my dogs, I'll be a wreck for a while. You guys are going to have to help me with that one. So this kid just lost his dog. He says, so you're saying God killed my dog? And the youth pastor has this reply. It says, that's a tough one, but sometimes God lets us grow through hard times so that we are prepared for even more difficult things in the future. That sounds great, and I'm partway with the youth pastor on this, right? Sometimes we go through things and it strengthens us, but was it always God's plan? So then the youth pastor goes on, the youth pastor goes on and says, you know what, I lost a dog too. I love my dog. And you know what, after I lost my dog, later on I lost my grandma, and I was able to cope with the death a little bit better. And then the youth, right, youth have that, you never know, they come out of left field sometimes with questions and with answers. And then the youth says this, he says, so basically you're saying God killed my dog to prepare me for when he's going to kill my grandma. right? What are you going to say as a youth pastor to that, right? What are you going to say? Right? God is in control of a lot of things, but he's not controlling everything. I'm sure God did not kill his dog. I'm sure God did not kill his grandma. Grandma probably died of old age. The dog could have died of old age, could have been a car. But either way, I doubt whether that was God taking action, right? God is a supreme ruler. But that doesn't mean that he is in every little thing, making every decision, because he can't do that because he gave us free will. Right? So the kid had a good point, right? And I think if we read this, we start thinking ourselves, right? What does that look like? Sometimes we assume that everything does happen how God wants, right? Sometimes the things happen, like, hey, that was God's plan. And sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. When do we know, right? Things never happen exactly how God wants things to because he has to deal with us. He plans out things in our lives, but then we make other decisions. And no matter what happens, good or bad, a lot of people think it's the will of God, right? That's the will of God. But when we live in a world that we have all of our own free will and we have so much evil in the world, not everything that happens is the way God wanted it to happen, right? So the lesson is going to take us to a couple of verses, quite a few verses, and we are going to kind of see how God works in our lives and how we work, right? How does this whole relationship look like between free will, love, and this divine providence, right? This care that God has for us. So if you have your Bibles, whether you're at home watching online or listening, or you're here, if you want to take out your Bible, you can. If not, I'll go ahead and read them. I'll read from the New King James Version, and it is Psalms 81, verses 11 through 14. And it says this, "But my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk in their own counsels." Verse 13 says, "Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. But I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries." So to me, it's very clear what God is saying to them. He's saying to these people, because you did not listen to me, right? I let them do what they wanted. I wanted things a certain way. They didn't listen, and I let them go. Right? It says he let them go, and it was not the way that God had planned. God had talked to Israel. He had told them what they needed to do, how they needed to live, how they needed to worship him. And they went, and it says that they went their own way and did not heed his voice. They did not listen to his voice. So we're seeing right here, God has a plan, man has a plan, and man's plan was not what God's plan was. All right? If we go to Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15, it says this, "For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength, but you would not." So God is telling them, right? Okay, if you want to be saved, I need you to rest. I need you to return to me. Be quiet. Give your confidence to me, and I'm going to help you. But it says here that they would not, right? Again, God has a plan. Man did not go ahead and go with that plan. And God did not force them. He's not forcing them to do anything. Isaiah 66:4 says this, "So I will choose their delusions, and I will bring their fears on them, because when I called, no one answers. When I spoke, they did not hear, but they did evil before my eyes and chose that in which I did not delight." God called. They did not listen. And that happens a lot. It says, the key here, it says it, they chose. They chose. We chose. We choose. right? God gives us this free will. He lets us make decisions. So obviously, if we're reading these verses, it's hard to come to the conclusion that God is in every single detail and God is determining everything when these three verses that we've read so far are basically showing how they made their decisions. God wanted it one way and they made other decisions. The key here is they chose. They chose, and it was not what God had. Luke 13:34 says this, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing." Another perfect example here. God wants to bring everybody together, all of his people. Not just a certain family, not just a certain individual. It's saying all of Israel, all of his people he wanted to gather together. But they were not willing. He wanted to gather them all together. Because he knows what's good for them. He knows what's good for us. He calls us. He wants us to be close to him so that he can protect us. When we are far off from God and we are living away from him, it's hard for him to put his protection over us. He wants what's best for us. You know, when I was reading this earlier, I was thinking about a time where, you know, there was a time where I knew what's best for the group. I was in one time called a mountain man. I lived up in the mountains in the wintertime. I skied, and we lived up in Tahoe for a long time, and I knew what it was like, and I was with my wife's family, and they are not from the mountains, and I knew we were playing in the snow, and I said, hey, we need to leave and get everything packed up before that sun goes down that mountain. Once that sun goes down, it's going to be cold. The temperature doesn't change that much. In 15 minutes, like 30 degrees. I mean, it's cold. I was trying to tell you, God tries to tell us all the time. He tries to give us advice. He tries to bring us into him. This shows that God is not in control of every little tiny aspect of our life because he gives us the right to make decisions. The people would not go to him. God has a plan for us, and he wants us to live a certain way. He wants us to be well. He wants us to be with him, right? And we make bad choices. And depending on the choices we make is how God reacts, right? If we continue to go with him and be with him, God reacts a certain way. When we shy away from him and when we leave him, he makes other decisions. God gives us free will and does not plan out every single part of our lives. He leaves a lot of that up to us to make decisions. Right? I'm a parent. I want to try and educate my kids and tell my kids what they should do. It's up to them to listen. I want them to listen to everything I say. Well, maybe not everything, because I'm not always right, right? Some people are right. But most of the time, I think we know what's good for them. And God knows what's good for us. But we make it difficult for God. He has to pivot all the time. Okay, I had this planned out for Brett, but now he went this way. Now I got to go get him, right? We make things difficult for our Lord. Let's go on into Monday. And Monday, I don't know what that word is, right? It is pantocrator. It's a Greek word that means almighty or powerful. And I may have butchered that saying, however that word is, but it's not in the English vocabulary, so I'm not too much worried about that. But this means, this word and this title basically is saying almighty and all-powerful. That's what describes our God, right? He is almighty and all-powerful. And we see that throughout the Bible. And we see that time after time, there are things that happen that God did not want to happen. Things happen, right? We already talked about it, the fall. God didn't want that to happen. He was happy walking around the garden with Adam and Eve. He liked it. He was with them. They ruined it. But God didn't leave them. He just had to pivot again, right? So let's take a look at a couple of verses that show God's power. Right, and I think we all know how powerful God is, but let's look. If you go to Revelation 11, chapter 11, verse 17, it says this, saying, "We give thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reign." We all know that God is reigning. He is our supreme power. He is the Almighty. He is the Creator. He is what we cannot understand. Somebody that always is and always will be. We can't even understand that. That's how powerful and how wonderful God is that we, our human minds, cannot even comprehend that. But He is the God. He is the one being that is all powerful. Right? Even the president of the United States is not all powerful. The president of Russia, or dictator, whatever you want to call him, is not all powerful. When you own a company, you're still not all powerful. There is only one that is all powerful, and that is God. Right? And yet, at times, He is helpless. He is helpless when it refers to us. Because He can't force us to do anything. Because if He forces us, He wouldn't be who He was. Let's take a look at a couple of really interesting verses in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 32. So Jeremiah, chapter 32, verses 17 through 20, it says this. It talks about the God being all-powerful. But there's a couple of interesting details in these verses as well. Jeremiah 32, starting with 17, it says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. You show loving kindness to thousands and repay the iniquity of their fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, whose name is the Lord of hosts, you are great in counsel and mighty in work. Your eyes are open to all ways of the sons of men, to give them according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing." Verse 20 says this, "You have set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt to this day, and in Israel and among other men, you have made yourself a name as it is this day." Again, we read the Creator, the Almighty. Have you ever known somebody and described them as Almighty? I've never used a description to describe somebody as mighty. Right? I just haven't. Now that's a word that we can only really use for God, right? As mighty. Verse 19 says something interesting. It says, "Your eyes are open to all the ways." That's something that we don't have. Our eyes are not open to all the ways of the world. As human beings and as citizens or living in the United States right now, we don't know all that's happening. We actually know very little of what's happening. Right? But God, His eyes see everything. He knows everything. And that is wonderful. And so now that He knows everything and sees everything, He is able to, right? If we look at verse 19, He is able to give according to His ways and according to the fruit of His doing. He is ready to work with us in the ways that we need it, individually. He's not going to come and have the same solution and the same guidance for each and every one of us, because it's all going to be different. In Luke 1:37, it says, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." And I had firsthand view and a firsthand experience of this week. It was amazing. The Lord did something that I thought was impossible. Not that I didn't doubt. I just didn't even know. And I share a lot of my life. I'm pretty open with my life, but this one I'm keeping to myself. This one was for me and my family. But it was amazing that God did the impossible. I was able to see that with my eyes, and hopefully you, in your experiences, in your walk with God, can see at times when God does the impossible, right? It is so amazing, because there is nothing that God cannot do, right, in our lives. We'll go to that in a second, because I'm going to kind of go back on what I just said, that nothing is impossible. There are some things that are impossible for God, but we're talking about things that he can do to save us and to help us, right? So Matthew 19:26 says this, but Jesus looked at them and said, to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Many things are impossible with us, because we're imperfect and we don't see everything. There are lots of things that we skip over and we didn't see or we didn't know, and we make decisions and we realize that that wasn't the right decision. But if we consult God, the Almighty, the All-Powerful, he's able to give us a little bit of insight a lot of the times, right? I've tried to do many things without God. Didn't work out too well. It just doesn't. When we don't do things with God, it usually doesn't turn out that great. We may get lucky and, you know, and get it right a couple of times without God, but usually we don't. Hebrews 1:3 says, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. All of these texts show how mighty and powerful God is. And he is, and we can go on and on and on. But there, because God is all-powerful and mighty, there are things that God cannot do. There are some things that he cannot do. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. One thing that God cannot do, deny himself. He cannot be involved in anything that is a contradiction to anything that he has said. When he says something, he cannot contradict himself, and he cannot go against what he has said and what he has promised. There is... which one are we on? Okay. At the bottom of your lesson on Monday, it says this. It has this quote from Matthew 26:39. It says, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but your will. Right? We know who he's talking about here. We're talking about Jesus on the cross, right? He's saying, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass. Right, and at the bottom of the lesson, it says, of course, the Father possessed the sheer power to deliver Christ from suffering on the cross, but he could not do this while also saving sinners. It had to be one or the other, not both. So God, after sin, had to come up with this plan, this remedy for our sin to be able to save us. And Christ was that remedy. Christ was that plan. He could not save us and save Christ at the same time. He could not go against what he had already said. He had already said that Christ was going to be our Messiah, right? Our Savior. He was going to die for our sins. And God could not go back on that. He couldn't go back on that. It was either save all of us, or save one. He chose to save all. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us, right? God is a God of love, and everything that he does is out of love. And love is not forced. You can't force somebody to love you. You just can't. He gives us free will. God wants to save all of us, because he loves all of us, but because he loves us, he lets us make our own decisions, whether we want to be with him or not. And with that free will, some of us will be saved, and some of us won't. John 5, 28 and 29 says this, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." Right? Depending on what we do, if we believe him, if we follow him, if we love him, we're either going to be saved or we're not. Let's go on into Tuesday. The title of Tuesday is To Love God. He wants everybody also to love him. Matthew 22:37 says, "Jesus said to him, Thou shalt love your Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Also in Deuteronomy 6:4 and 5, it says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Those right there are the greatest commandments, right? To love God, love our neighbors, but the greatest commandments involve love because God is a God of love. Why doesn't God figure out a way to make us love him if he loves us that much? Right? He's all powerful. He's almighty. Why can't he figure out a way to make us love him? I mean, right? Just thinking about it, right? But he gives us so much freedom, right? We can do anything we want. I don't know if you've ever been in a place where your freedoms are taken away. It's not fun. It's nice to be free. I remember I had, when I was in that nice orange jumpsuit behind either bars or plexiglass, I wasn't free to do anything. God gives us the freedom to do whatever we want, right? Love cannot be forced. Hebrews 6:17 and 18 says, "Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed by an oath that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled or refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us." God rests his promises on two unchangeable things. God cannot lie, and God can never break his promise. Right, those are things that God is incapable of doing. He is incapable of lying or breaking his promise. Are we incapable of lying? No. Unfortunately, we have a tendency to do that. We have a tendency to promise and not go through with it. With good intentions, most of the time I have all the intentions in the world of doing what I promise. Sometimes things change, things come up, right? But we can't. But God will never not come through with his promise. In Titus 1, verse 2, it says, "In the hope of eternal life in which God cannot lie, promised before time began." Right? He promised us this eternal life if we follow him and Jesus. God has come through with everything that he said he is going to do. Do we go through with our part? Towards the end of the lesson, I liked the way the author of the lesson put this. It says, "Accordingly, if God has promised or committed himself to something, his future action is morally limited by that promise." So God, because he made that promise, and when he promises to do things, he is morally obligated to go through and help us with that promise. So that even if we have free will, God goes ahead and works with our free will all according to his promises. But it is not up to God what humans choose to do. Right? Humans have the ability to either go with or against God. And tragically, at times, we make the decision to go against God because selfishly we want something or we're desiring something. Let's go to Wednesday, because Wednesday talks about two different wills of God, right? It talks about, the title of Wednesday is God's ideal will and remedial wills. So the ideal will is what God prefers. It's the way that God came out originally with what he had, his original plan. And if everybody would obey God, if everybody would not sin, we would be living in God's ideal will, right? The ideal will with God is that we would all be good, right? We would all live according to, we'd love one another. We wouldn't lie. We wouldn't cheat. We wouldn't do all these things. And we would listen to God and be with God. That would be God's ideal will. And God, we're not living in God's ideal will, but he wants us to get back to that. So right now we are living in the other example, which is remedial will. And remedial will is God's will after taking into consideration all of the factors of humans having free will. So it's still God's will. It's still God planning out behind the scenes and orchestrating things behind the scenes, depending on the decisions that we make. I work a lot right now in companies that are doing remediation. So I sell sensors and work with sensors and data loggers to be able to collect data on things. And we have companies that will go in and deforest an area. And after they deforest an area, they need to go ahead and do remediation work, plant trees, get water. They need to do all of this work in order to restore the environment and have it grow back to kind of what it was. Right? And we sell the sensors to be able to monitor, is that really happening? We have people that will go in and do mining work inside lakes, rivers, and streams. They can do the mining work, but afterwards they need to do remediation work to restore, right? And the remedial action is intended to correct something that has been done that was wrong. So right now, God has this ideal will that he has, that he wishes we would all live in, but since we don't, he still has a will for us, and it's called remedial will. If we go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9 and 11, we see kind of this working here. So Ephesians 1, verse 9, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, in which he purposed himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsels of his will. Right? This seems to be talking about remedial will here. Right? It's talking that God does works according to his counsel and his will, but yet at the same time, taking into consideration what we are doing. And the lesson talks a little bit about predestination, right? The predestination is, means that the theory that everything is decided beforehand, that God before in the creation, when he created us, he created that you're going to be saved, you're not going to be saved. God has predetermined everything, and we're just living out this script that he has already predetermined. But everything that happens to you is because God planned it exactly that way. That is what this predestination means. It means that it's, you know, God is predetermining all these things, but that's, we see here that that's not how he works, right? So this this theory of predestination, really, if you just look at, remember all the verses we just went over, right? The people chose this, then God did this, right? God wanted this, the people didn't choose this. The predestination doesn't really make sense, right? But it is predestination that is used, right? The word that he uses in a couple of these scriptures, we'll go over a couple of them, are predestined. And that means that his will, his remedial will, is going to be predestined, right? He predestined that he is going to do what he's going to do, and we are going to do what we are going to do, and they're going to kind of match and flow together. In Romans 8, 29 and 30, it says this, For he who he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of God, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, he is also glorified. The lesson about midway through says this: God can providentially guide history to his desired good ends for all, even while respecting any kind of creaturely freedom that is required for a genuine loving relationship. So we need to see this, right? How we are all working together with God, but still with his will, right? God has guided me to a relationship with him. I'm pretty sure that in the beginning, when I was born, when I was a young kid, before I started to do drugs, before I started to party, before I started to be a violent, horrible human being, God had something else that he wanted me to do. He had a path for me, right? My dad was a pastor. I used to go on mission trips. I used to help at the church. I used to help with cameras. I used to help with audio. I used to help with serving. And then I went way off to one side, and magically God brought me back, you know, which I praise him for. But that was not his original plan. And I'm pretty sure I don't want to believe in a God that had that in store for me. I don't want to believe in a God that said, Brett, you are going to suffer. You are going to have overdoses. You are almost going to die. You are going to go to prison. No, he didn't want any of that for me. His ideal will for me was to be good the whole time. But he was still able to work with me. Right? We see the lesson talks about the story of Joseph. The story of Joseph is a prime example of this remedial will that we're talking about here, right? Because God did not want everything to happen the way it happened with Joseph. He had a plan, and his plan ended up going through at the end, right? He was able to save a lot of human beings. He was able to save Joseph's, you know, family and all that. It's an incredible story. But there was one time when his brothers overruled God. God had this plan, and the brothers said, you know what? Nope. Right? God, being the almighty creator, the almighty God, gives us free will. And that free will, they wanted to kill the little brother. Right? They ended up, you know, selling the brother. Right? It was horrible. They overruled God. God has a plan for all of us, and we can overrule him with our decisions because we have free will. But that's not what God wants. God wants us to work with him. God wants to work with us. At the very end, for Thursday, the title is Christ Has Overcome. And I'll go ahead and read this. It says, if everything occurred according to God's ideal will, there would never have been evil, but perfect bliss, love, and harmony. God, his original plan, his ideal plan, was to have nothing but love and harmony and time together. That's not what we live in now. But Some of us still do live in that, right? Some of us do walk with God, talk with God, and we are with him, and we still have the opportunity to do that. But most of us make the decision to not do that. We try and determine what's going on in our lives rather than let God determine. He has this wonderful plan for all of us. The only thing that gets in the way is us. We're the ones that get in the way of God's plan. In the lesson, it talks about a baking competition, right? In a baking competition, they give you a certain amount of ingredients that you can use, and then there's all these other things that you can use. You can add your own things, right? We all have the ability to make our own cakes. To use, God says, you use these ingredients, you have to use these ones, but also you can add all these other things to it. And that's kind of how we look at living with Christ, right? We can be with him, or we cannot. He wants, you know, part to be in there and part not. God can bring good out of bad. Right? Just because we make bad choices in our life doesn't mean we are always stuck with that. God is really good at pivoting and working around us. You know, fire drills all the time. Well, Brett did this, I got it, now I've got to change this. But all he still has this plan, and everything that he does, he has promises. God cannot lie. God will be with us, and he wants to be with us. Right? So what we need to do is we need to align our free will and our decisions with God and what he has planned. So today we talked about free will, we talked about God being a God of love, and we talked about how God works alongside us, right? And it's wonderful that we can have this relationship with God. He's not determining all these bad things that happen, right? He didn't kill that kid's dog, and he didn't kill that kid's grandma, but he was there to help. Next week, we will be going over lesson number 9, and the title is The Cosmic Conflict. So thank you so much for being with us at Sacramento Central Seventh-day Adventist Church for Central Study Hour. Again, for those who are watching online or on TV, you can call us and get a free CD or DVD of this lesson. You can call us at 916-457-6511 or email us at csh@saccentral.org. Give us the offer. C202508. Give us your name, your address, and where to get a hold of you, and we would love to send you a free CD or DVD of this lesson. Thank you so much for joining us with Central Study Hour.